This meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone.
At least I have the same date on my screen, so.
Okay. I'm glad. So, this is our IRT meeting for IGO-INGO Identifier Protection Policy Implementation Project. Today is the 28th of July. And let's get started. So if anybody's on the phone and not on another way connect, please identify yourself. Otherwise, we won't know that you have attended. Hearing none, I will continue then. Welcome, everyone. So today we have an agenda, as you see before you. We're going to cover the project status so everybody can get on the same page. And then we want to talk to you about the gating items. I call them gating items so that and identifying what we require for the public comment. And then the project scope tracking chart I want to review one more time, something that I like to review time to time. This project is kind of confusing, and we saw a lot of confusion at the Helsinki, too. And so I went around sharing a project tracking chart with several people to get on the same page or keep them in sync. We want to talk about a concept called Protected Identifier Master List, and we'll talk more about that. And then the list update process, and the next step. So let me start with sharing our schedule. Current timeline, it hasn't changed. I just changed the little format. I took the public comment and put it on one line. You can see the start of the public comment in August 1, and then end in the regular time frame. So instead of having a milestone bar and another milestone, I just put it all in one line. I think that it simplifies and you can see it's easier. So announcement, of course, is the 1 February we're targeting, and 6 months later is the policy effective date in 1 August. We're trying to use those 1 February and 1 August as the normal calendar dates for our project implementation. So, talking about the status, there's three parts. We need to get our list and the data, and we have to define the update process and the system. As far as the data, we have all except the second language from the GAC. As you know, we submitted the letter, and I'm in coordination with the support staff for the GAC from the ICANN side, and they're trying to get us their list by October 2016. Now, we do have to talk about the possibility of them being late or not delivering or only partially delivering because, as you know, they have to go out to hundred-some members and try to get this information. And I know that some GAC members have already responded, and they're trickling in. But it is an optional item, so we may want to take a position that we will give a deadline and we will go with our first initial list. Go ahead, Peter.
Thanks, Peter. I probably asked this before, but regarding the two languages, I presume now that you have get some inputs, even if it's not from all. If you can say if it's normally English and another one, or if there are very different. Could be very different kind of languages, at least two. Thanks.
Yeah, what I've seen is English plus another language.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of the way, even though it's not specific, I think that's sort of the way people are communicating anyway, because they've already given their first language, first name, so they're sort of adding to that.
Yeah, I presume so, but on the other hand, they're free to choose the language as they want. So it was interesting to see that there seems to be a policy with English as one of them. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. So we'll see. So we can make that call later. Maybe we'll talk about it in October, you know, that time period there. But we'll see what we get then and make a decision whether that will be a gating item for announcement or not. So next item is the development with the INGO, the MOU, so that we call it. Turns out that ICANN has a standard form or process dealing with the United Nations. So we're following that process carefully, and several people who are in the business of UN relations are involved. So that the MOU has been drafted and is circulating within ICANN. And it's our intent to, of course, get with them and see how long that takes. And that is another point where if it gets delayed beyond August, right now we are not thinking that will be a gating item to go with a public comment, because I think public comment in the policy language, I think it will be sufficient for us to let everyone know our implementation includes working with the UN, DESA, and ECOSOC. So whether or not we actually have a signed MOU is probably not going to be needed, and we can consider that part of the implementation. That's what we're thinking today. And the next last item is the development of the system, on the 90-day claim system. We're still in discussion with the TMCA system vendor, which is Deloitte and IBM, and they promised to provide us a proposal. It's been taking a long time, but we are pursuing that, and they promised us. So that's where the status is. Any question on the status of the project?
That's it. Okay. Yeah, so far, thanks.
Yeah, so this is the gating item that we talked about. So I have three milestones identified. Right, public comment, start, and then announcement, and then policy effective date. So right now, the public comment, we're saying that we really need to define the 90-day claim solution, and I think we're okay with that. We have pretty well defined, and we know what to do. And the process needs to be defined, and then, of course, the document. And the sample protected identifier list, I call it the sample. I'm not sure exactly what to name it, but we'll talk about that a little more later. So that's the first four items that we are focusing our energy on to get to the public comment in August. Moving on, this is the policy recommendation scope tracking chart. You've seen this before, Peter. And as you see, I have tried really hard to identify what's included but also what's not included. And my original chart did not have this in it, and I added this because I noticed a discrepancy on our policy language draft document and, of course, other documents. And I think this is correct. The INGO is English only. And that's been specified in the recommendation and all the other scoping documents that I've seen. And I've asked our IPT if they know of any reasons or discussions prior to change that from English only to relevant language, which is what our policy document draft currently says. And I have not heard any feedback. And let me take a moment here and hear from Barry and Peter. Any question on this, really?
Oh, as I said, how sure can we be that It stays with English only?
That's what I'm asking, and I think I'm sure, but go ahead. A message from Barry. Okay. English only is what I recall. Okay. So Barry says he recalls English only, and I have looked at the recommendation document, and it says English only on the top. Oops, what did I do? Anybody else have any? Let me see a little bit. See, I had here. Let me see. Recent file. I was just looking at the final. So this is the final document recommendation, right? Final report. And I think since I'm sharing my screen, you guys can be dizzy. Read everything that's going by. But here is the INGO 3.4 section. Can you see this? English only language?
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm satisfied unless there is subsequent document decision or direction that changed this. I have seen no reason to deviate from it. But I want to be very careful because it has been years that this thing was in development and many conversations has been had. And you know about the scope confusion already. So I want to be like crystal clear that all the IPT members and all the IRT members are in sync. That's why I decided to add this here so that we don't lose this. So far, the scope tracking document has components, right? Reserve, top and second, right? Reserve, top and second, but also what language? 6 UN languages, 6 UN plus German, Greek, Korean, up to 2 languages, and English only. So they're mixed, and I don't know how or why the recommendation came up with this different variety of language decisions, but it's not for me to question it. It's my job and our job to implement what we have been directed. Comments, feedback, questions? Are we all clear? So then the subsequent action is that I'm going to go ahead and change our policy draft document to say English only to make that consistent with everything else. So let's talk about the location of the list. Where do we keep this location? So what you see on top table is the current location of the list, and what you see at the bottom is the proposed new location. So right now, RCRC, IOC, IGO, we have a reserved name list on our website. And if you go there, you will see the long list of names and the DNS label for them. And it gets referred to from various sources, like the registry agreement spec 5, right? And then other places, I guess. The IGO list in particular, we know that we have that received in a PDF form from the GAT, but then we have taken that and put it onto this reserve name list so that we can have one list. Now, the important thing here is that it's the reserve name list only deals with second level. So if you want to know what the top level reserve list is, you have to go to AGB, right? And then for INGO, it doesn't appear anywhere because we were given the direction to do that. So that's the current situation. So what the IPT has come up with why don't we use the same concept as the reserve list but expand that concept to include the top level also and add the INGO to it, but keep the list a simple list without interpretation, meaning that all the treatment of how to use the list and what to do with the list is covered elsewhere, like AGB and registry agreement, etc. Any reaction? Feedback? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's very good to have them all at the same location. And then, as I understand it, you will call it protected identifiers list. Although it will it still be listed on that as the type of organization, or will it just be the names? So, because I think it would be good to at even if it's on the same list, to have a possibility to identify the kind of organization.
Yes, I was thinking, and we were thinking that if we look at the current list of reserve name, it comes in categories. You know, it's like a list of lists, in other words.
The yeah, first and you will keep, you'll keep
across,
that.
Right? Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm thinking we keep that same format and add to it the INGO. The only thing that you should be aware of is that INGO list is going to be like 4,000 long, right? So I'm wondering how that would really look on a web page, but maybe technically we can handle it somehow. So we'll talk to our engineers here. Francisco didn't see a problem with it, and he said he would do it for us. He's not here right now. So I don't think it's a technical challenge as maybe a readability challenge, but maybe we can put a table of contents on top or something. I don't know. But the concept is that rather than going to, you know, keep pointing to, well, if you want something, go look at AGB. If you want something, go look at registry agreement, Spec 5. If you want something, go here, go there. And then if you want top level, do this. If you want second level, do this. I would rather have one list. And it won't even say whether how to use this list. It'll just say, here's a Red Cross list, BIM, right? And it's updated as of, that's it. And then, if you go to the registry agreement or future registry agreement or AGB, African Guidebook of the Future, there it will point to this and say, for top level, you must reserve. So, I think it's a clear and straightforward concept, so everybody liked it here, and I just wanted to make sure that IRT, you know, if you had a different perspective, I wanted to find out if you knew, if you do. No? Are we okay?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we'll proceed with this approach. Now, one thing that we also talked about later is when we do a public comment, we will have our document, of course, of the implementation plan document and the consensus policy language. But we will attempt to actually create this whole list as a test model so that people can see what it would look like when they comment on it instead of just mentioning it. So we haven't done that yet, but that's our plan before we launch. And I will, via email, we will communicate that to the IRT and let you guys have a look when it is ready. Let's talk about the update process. So let me talk about one process, and there's more than one option, but I want to talk about this one first because this is the default process, and this is what I call as-needed updates. And what it says is we have already identified the authority for the updates. So when ICANN receives it, then we will have to notify the affected parties, such as the claim system service provider, and tell them, hey, we have an updated list. Go ahead and update your system. And it has to be ready by a certain date, right? And then after that, we actually do the update and make the announcement. So, simple concept, but this is as needed basis upon required. And we don't know how often this is going to happen, and we'll have to find out if there's any kind of legal time frame of notification to the contracted party, and we'll find that out. If it's 10 days, or sometimes we have these kind of requirements that we have to let them know 10 days prior to any kind of changes that affects them. And we'll find that out. But I'm thinking maybe a month is an adequate time. And we'll spell that out in our document. So this is one concept. And let me go to the next page where the first concept is as-needed model default. That's the first bullet, right? The second bullet is calendarized model. And this is like the policy implementation calendar that I talked to you about. 1 February and 1 August, we always think in those terms. So biannual, twice a year, you can expect that any kind of policy effective dates, effectiveness, a new policy will be implemented or effective on those days, right? So you don't have to worry about it. So this is another concept that one of the IP team members presented how this would be. And I thought about it, and I wanted to talk about it here too. So we can probably accommodate twice a year as an example. And we maybe even nice to synchronize those with those same days, February and August. The consequences is what happens if we get an update from a GAC on January 31st, right? We can't possibly react quickly enough to get it updated by August. So we have to set up some sort of a rule that it has to be received one month prior to the effective date or something, right? The worst case would be almost a year delay. So it presents a potential delay from upon receipt to effective date, basically, right? So I can kind of see the criticism from community that DESTA or ECOSOC gave us an update in January, but we haven't updated our system till August. So that's my thought. Any reaction here?
Heather here. I think the calendarized model may be a more safer model because for all parties, because then you have specific dates that you're, so to say, forced to manage and to file your amendments in due time. Having said that, your example with the February, the 31st of January amendment, I don't know if it's possible to make a quick search if there are updates at the beginning of the year that is ready by New Year or by already in the mid of January or so. The February 1st date specifically can be changed a couple of weeks, perhaps, if it's more convenient for the parties, if it's a general policy with name change at the beginning of the year. But otherwise, I like the twice a year example, giving it more clear both for you, Daikin, and for the organizations as such.
Anybody else? Go ahead, Steve.
This is Steve from staff. I was just thinking that the calendarized model doesn't have to be just two times. It doesn't have to be strictly modeled after the implementation calendar. So if you wanted to alleviate some of the issues of just how the calendar sets up, then you could potentially have 4 points for updates or whatever.
Quarterly updates?
Something other than just twice a year to hopefully avoid that situation.
Okay, that's another option. Yeah. So if it gets too frequent, then I would rather go with the as-needed model, so that we don't have to remember. Because I think my prediction is going to get infrequent update. So if we just react to the updates from GAC and UNDESA, we only have two sources, then I would rather just have it, you know, 1 month after receipt or something like that. I think for me that seems like it's an easier implementation from my side. That's what I see, and I'm trying to consider the direction that I would have to give to my suppliers too here. It's a lot easier to say updated within a month or update 2 weeks or something like that per contract. And then once they have it updated, I to hang on to it for 3 months to make the announcement. It seems like it's actually less efficient, I think. So that's where it is. You feel strongly one way or the other better, or do you think that you can leave it to us to sort of pick the approach?
Well, basically, I'll leave it to you. I thought that if you had specific dates, it would be more convenient for you to collect and then make the changes. But if you say that it's better for you to have continuous update, if it's convenient and you can do it within a month, well, I have no problem with that. And of course, it would be more appreciated, I presume, also for the organizations that want it updated, so that they don't have to wait for another 5 months in the worst case.
Yeah. How do you feel about the month reaction time? Do you think that's a reasonable time? I feel comfortable with a month in terms of implementation, but from the community side, do you think that's pretty timely or?
I think that's okay.
Okay, so that's sort of a default, lead time that we're going to start working with, and we'll make sure that it gets reflected in our policy language too, so that we can have public comments on it if they think it's too long or something. But I think it's probably okay. Okay, thank you. Next steps, so we're going to pursue the MOU with UNDES, 90-day systems claim, and then complete the job. We're going to track the policy language up. Something else that Antonietta is working on with the team right now is that we're going to go ahead and draft up the notice language, and it's going to be like a form for registrant and the protected organization. In other words, if a registrant is registering the name, they will see a message pop up before they register that, hey, you're about to register a name that's in the claim system. You know, this notice will be posted for 90 days. And then if they go ahead and still register, then a notice will go to the protected organization that is saying, hey, so-and-so registered your name. Just wanted you to know. Okay?
Sure.
So I think that will paint the complete picture for the public comment. They have the policy language. They have the actual list, what it looks like, and the notifications that people will see. That will be a good set of documents for them to comment on, I think. So next scheduled meetings, next IRT call is the 25th, and that's the last one we'll have before the public comment. That's an important call. So looking at the attendance for these meetings, I'm so glad you're here, man. we have to make sure that they are, we get their attention somehow, and maybe you can do something, Peter, to encourage them that at least if they can attend the meeting, at least look at the documents and provide feedback.
Yeah.
Because I have no reason to delay the public comment here at this point. Go ahead, Peter.
Okay. The PowerPoint presentation I see right now. Would you send it out to the full list together with the invitation to the 25th of August meeting?
You mean the? What were you asking for? The
The PowerPoint presentation.
PowerPoint.
Yeah, it will make it a little bit more easier. If I reach out to other interested parties.
Yes, I will do
even
that.
If it's, I presume it's also online, but yeah, because it was very. Good and easily readable presentation also, sir.
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you for that suggestion. Yeah, I expect lots of communication, email communication, all the way to our next IRT meeting. So PowerPoint presentation will certainly be one of them. And it will basically contain the things that we discussed on the email list. That's what I'm envisioning right now.
Good.
Okay. Well, anybody else? That's all I have for today. Anyone else have anything else? Can I ask you a question, Peter? Since you are the man, and I know it's a little off topic, but the reconciliation of GNSO differing from GAC, are you involved in that at all?
No.
Okay.
I'm not.
But you are running the curative rights working group, right?
I'm in the, yes, I'm one of the co-chairs there.
Sure. Yeah, this one.
Yeah.
Anything that this team should be aware of there, or?
Waiting for there, as you may know, we have focus now on IDOs. What we are waiting for now is the little bit of what we're talking about here, the pre-protection to get an input from the board, so that we also can see what kind of further protection when it comes to dispute resolutions we need to deal with.
Okay.
But I mean, this is that's another topic, but it's closely related to this.
Okay.
But it's mm-hmm. more of the pre-protective, and of course, what we're dealing with here is the identification to make that convenient and workable.
Okay, thank you. Anybody, Mary, did you want to talk, or I saw your chat. Okay then. I'm going to conclude the meeting. So I'll see you next month later on the call, but we'll be talking online with emails. Bye everyone.
Yeah. Thanks.
Oh, I got a compliment from Mary. Thank you. Make my day.